Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, what a day this is on Capitol Hill. Even as we are going live on the air, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States is testifying before a key committee in Congress. And then coming up at the end of the program today, in fact, just a little bit after we go off the air, approximately 2 o'clock, the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, will also be testifying before this key committee. And so, friends, political theater at its very best is taking place at the very moment we are talking to you up on Capitol Hill. And even as all this is taking place, President Trump's legal team appears to be prepared to show a history of leaks to the New York Times by former FBI Director James Comey. And those leaks date back, according to the Trump legal team, all the way back to at least the month of March. The month of March. And this, according to a pair of complaints that are set to be filed to both the Justice Department Inspector General and the Senate Judiciary Committee. Additionally, the failing New York Times is claiming now an absolutely ridiculous story. What am I talking about? Well, you may want to buckle your seatbelt, because in her column by this title, James Comey and the Predator-in-Chief, Nicole Serratori, who is a writer for the New York Times, says that Comey's June 8 testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee reminded her of, quote, the experience of a woman being harassed by her powerful predatory boss, end quote. She goes on and says this, and I quote, "There is precisely that sinister air of coercion of an employee helpless to avoid contact with an employer who is trying to grab what he wants. For a woman who has spent a lifetime wrestling with situations where men have power they can abuse, this was disturbingly familiar," end quote. Of course, no actual evidence of that charge was provided by Nicole Serratori. She just threw it out there. So the Trump versus Comey scenario, according to this New York Times writer, is due to our current president attempting to sexually harass the 6'8" Comey. Well, friends, with that said, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler, and joining me today as my co-host is my twin brother, Dan. And for the majority of the program today, we're going to be discussing a vitally important topic called Cultivating the Next Generation of Leaders. And from segment two all the way to the end, we're going to bring in a very special guest that has been on the program before to talk about that along with Dan and myself. But before we get there, I want to go to you, Dan, and talk to you a little bit about what has been taking place with respect to these leaks. In addition to his admission that he used an ex-U.S. attorney, later identified as Columbia University professor, Daniel Richmond, to leak to the New York Times the contents of alleged memos he wrote about his one-on-one interaction with Donald Trump, James Comey now, Dan, may be revealed to be the source of multiple leaks. And again, this is according to the Trump legal team that appears to be ready to file complaints with the DOJ and the Senate Judiciary Committee as well. Dan, let me ask you this. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dave. I listened to the hearings on Thursday while I was working, and I thought President Trump came out of those that testimony smelling like a rose, just to be honest with you. And I'll tell you, Dave, if it is proven that James Comey is the promoter of other leaks, he's in major trouble. I thought he looked weak in some of his admissions that he made, you know, being intimidated by the president and being intimidated by Loretta Lynch. I mean, this guy is heading up the FBI, for heaven's sakes, and if he's admitting, even though he is 6'8", if he's admitting that he was intimidated by these people, we definitely need somebody else to head up that agency. So President Trump was totally justified in firing him. But this leak thing is proving to be very serious, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what Attorney General Sessions has to say today.
Well, Dan, all of this that Attorney General Sessions, his testimony, all this came after former FBI Director James Comey admitted that he actually initiated this leak to this Columbia University professor and asking him then to get the information to the New York Times. When he said that, and I was watching some of the testimony live, as you said you were, I mean, I literally almost fell out of my chair when he admitted that this is supposed to be a smart man. I mean, Dan, it stunned me that he would so readily, so willingly admit he was the source of that leak. So you know as well as I do that these leaks from the very beginning, that they, from the time they started coming out, have been stated as coming from either FBI sources or Department of Justice sources. Well, of course, he is with the FBI. So if he is proven to be the one that is the source of all this, you're right. He is in a lot of trouble. Dan, let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen today with the Attorney General's testimony? I know he is chomping at the bit to get out and to answer these questions. I think like a parent asking a child questions that he already knows the answer to, I think Attorney General Sessions is primed and ready for a revelation today about James Comey himself.
Well, I agree, Dave. And of course, you know, Senator Sessions is a wonderful man. He's from the great state of Alabama, a man of impeccable credibility and character. So I am really looking forward to what he has to say today. And Dave, I'd like to make a comment about that New York Times reporter and that story that you just read. I don't know if you're familiar, many people in our audience may be. Dave, are you familiar with those little, they call them spinners or fidgets that kids, you know, play with? It's supposed to help kids that are ADD or ADHD or NCAA or whatever.
I am familiar with the gadget.
Yeah. Here's what we need to do. I want to invent one of those things. Instead of it being called a fidget, I think one needs to be invented called the idiot. And you need to hand them to people who are idiots, like that New York Times reporter, so they can play with them and spin them in their hand. We'll just call it the idiot, because anybody that would write a story like that accusing President Trump of sexually harassing James Comey, they are an idiot, and they need one of those little things to play with. We'll call it an idiot. What do you think?
That was going to be my next question to you.
Yeah.
Where are those on the left who are intent on bringing down not just this president, but evidently intent on bringing down the country? Where are they unwilling to actually go?
I'll be honest with you, Dave, and you and I have been following politics since our junior year in high school, you know, with the 1976 election. And, Dave, I have never seen anything like this. It absolutely beats all. I don't think there's no load that they're immune to stooping to try to destroy this president. And some of it, I mean, you want to laugh, but it's very serious what they're doing. But some of it is just so ridiculous. You know, you got to kind of smile a little bit, you know, or you'll lose your sanity. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan, before we go to the break. We've got about a minute to go or less. In fact, do you think there's anything that will stop these incessant attacks? Is there anything the president could do to stop it?
No, I think he just needs to buckle his seat belt and hang on and keep doing the right thing. I don't think there's anything he can do to stop it. It's just he's in this for the long haul.
I agree with you, Dan, and I think he knows that. And friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to welcome our special guest to talk about developing the next generation of governmental leaders. And the person that's going to be our guest knows about that because they have been part of training the next generation for a long time, as has my brother. So don't miss this vitally important segment coming up right after this brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, Washington, D.C. is the host city for a lot of organizations, one of which is an entity called the Center for Progressive Leadership. It is a liberal organization focused on training the next generation of progressive political leaders, and I want you to listen to their mission statement. Quote, "We aim to bring together high-tech training infrastructure, top-notch faculty, and unrivaled training methodologies to train, nurture, and develop the most able political leadership and progressive leaders who initiate positive change at various levels for the collective uplifting of society." They go on and say this, "When democracy is in question, we cannot afford to lose out on capitalizing the potential of our brightest minds in the realm of politics. Therefore, as a world-class institution for political leadership training, we envision a nation and subsequently a world where the brightest minds are systematically trained and drawn into politics, going on to become progressive political leaders who streamline positive change, social justice, and holistic development." Now, that is a mission statement, quite a long one, coming from this Center for Progressive Leadership, again, which is a very liberal organization in Washington, D.C. Well, to help us today address the cultivating of genuinely Christian governmental leaders, I want to welcome to the program our dear friend and allied ministry partner, Peggy Kneeneighbor, who is Vice President of Operations at Faith in Action in the nation's capital. Peggy, welcome to the program today.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is a delight to have you aboard. Peggy, you live in a city usually dominated by senators and congressmen, most of whom are, shall we say, mature individuals. And I mean by that, they are older individuals. But in actuality, the city of Washington, D.C. is a young person's world. Could you explain what I mean by that?
Yes. Actually, D.C. is a young person's world. And a lot of people don't know that. Most of your offices, the members' offices is what I'm talking about, your senators and your congressmen, even at the White House, are overseen by younger adults. They are the backbone of those legislative offices. Even in the administration, you have to go through these younger adults to meet, talk, correspond to almost any organization on the Hill, the members' offices, and at the White House. You touch base with the younger person, and that's who you may talk to before you ever reach that senator or that higher official that you're trying to talk to. The younger adults make up probably a little over 75% of the D.C. work world. That's a big deal.
Wow, Peggy, 75%. I knew it was high. I didn't know if it was necessarily that high, but that is a stunning, stunning statement. I know, Peggy, one of the things you do at Faith in Action is you have been involved for the entire time you've been at Faith in Action, training, cultivating the next generation of leadership through an internship program that you provide there at Faith in Action. Talk a little bit about that internship program and how you use it to train future leaders to serve in the governmental arena.
Sure. Now, Faith in Action has an internship program, but we also have a practicum. Now, both are a hands-on experience. It depends on the time and the length and who is part of that program. But they shadow one or more of our assigned employees here at Faith and Action. We're a ministry center right here on Capitol Hill, directly behind the Supreme Court. And they shadow us So we guide them through an on-site, on-hands experience, anything from attending a congressional hearing, which they'll be doing today, Capitol Hill meetings on the Hill where they take notes, they become involved, they listen to what's happening behind the scenes, in front, witnessing the President of the United States, even the Vice President of the United States on Capitol Hill, being part of events that they're at. To be inside the Supreme Court, they take notes of any of the orders or the opinions being released. We even include them in our Meet Me at the Ten Commandments. It's a monthly prayer event, and we ask them, we give them the opportunity, and we ask them to actually oversee the prayer for that, because that's what we do on Capitol Hill. They assist with social media, the communications we do. Our internship or our practicum experience is not just sitting here filing files or answering phones, but the young adult walks away with a significant experience so they know what our Christian ministry does.
Peggy, I have been there many, many times in the Faith in Action office. And, of course, our office is located just behind the main office there at Faith in Action. So I have been around a lot of the young people that are being trained under your tutelage, and you do an awesome job with that. Let me ask you this. Where do most of these young people come from? How long is their stay generally as far as the training time, the internship time? And you've already explained what they do with you there, but where do they come from? How long do they typically stay?
So it depends. They come from across the United States. We've actually had two that have been international, two out of my term here. Our internships or our practicum, it depends whichever is which one, they can last for 1 week to 3 weeks. Our FAA practicum is usually 3 months to 6 months. Most of our interns are college level, and we've had this year, we've had a senior from a high school serve with us. We've had some students that may be 11th graders. We try not to do too much of that because it becomes more of a field trip, and we want an on-hands learning experience. But we do take something that's different than nobody else does around. We do take 1 day during our summer months, and we bring in the younger kids, and I really mean younger kids, 10 years and under. Now, the younger kids, we have about a group of 7 or 8 of them. They stuff envelopes. They put stamps on. They may help us with a few things. They may answer a phone. But then we pray with them. We ask them to do prayer. We take them to lunch. We take them to meet their member. The younger they are, the better we are to get them interested in our nation's capital.
Peggy, that is just outstanding. And again, having been there and watched the way these young people are intimately involved, not just in busy work, I mean, they're involved in the nuts and bolts of the Ministry of Faith in Action. They're meeting high-profile people. They're sitting in these events, these hearings, as you well said. They're learning. They're writing reports on these things. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal learning experience. Dan, let me go to you. I know you've been a trainer of the next generation for about 33 years as a teacher of history, government, economics. If you had to narrow it down to just one critical component that is the key to cultivating the next generation of leaders, what would you say it is?
Well, Dave, you know, a lot of times, I teach in a Christian school, and a lot of times, you know, Christian schools get faulted for not training, you know, better or producing more leaders in our country. But Dave, really, over the 33 years that I've taught, the one component that really is the contributing factor to building leadership is the home. The homes that these kids come from. Let me illustrate what I mean. I've had two students in the last 33 years who have worked for very famous congressmen. I had a girl at the first Christian school I taught at who worked for Jim DeMint when he was a state senator from South Carolina, and then when he became a U.S. senator representing South Carolina, she went with him to Washington. I had a student just a couple years ago who, and still does to this day, works for Mark Meadows. Of course, Mark Meadows is very well known now because of his stand, you know, against the health care bill that was pushed, you know, promoted, and it just wasn't conservative enough. And this young man still works for Congressman Meadows. And both of those students, Dave, came from homes where the parents had their kids you know, actively involved. Now, we at the school, you know, where I teach, we do everything we can to keep the kids informed. And maybe the next segment I can tell you about some of the things we do there at the school to get the kids actively involved in the political scene and understanding how our government works, from having some fairly well-known congressmen, political figures come to our school, speak to the kids. We do that, but Dave, the one component is the home, where parents have to be involved themselves, and the students, the kids have to see it's important to mom and dad, and then it will become important to them. Dave, you know, the political scene was important to our parents, and that's probably why we're involved in it today.
Dan, that is a great point, and I could hear Peggy kind of echoing an amen in the background, so to speak.
Yes.
Peggy, we have about 60 seconds or less before we have to go into the break. Could you point out or just maybe mention, of all the young people you've trained down through the years through the Faith in Action internship or practicum programs, any young people that have actually gone into the political arena and are now serving in Congress or working for congressmen or senators?
Absolutely. We have heads of organizations on the Hill. I can sit in a hearing and see staffers to members of Congress that were actually our interns. We've got two of them that have gone on to be the actual presidents of certain pro-life organizations on the Hill. Some have gone on to be well-known lawyers. I see them sitting in the court, getting sworn into the bar at the court. So we've had, in my 12 years being here, almost 12 years, I see them on the Hill, and so I'm proud to think that God's work has been, you know, put towards the other interns and help them push on forward, and that they're still on Capitol Hill. So absolutely, and it does start from the parents. I do agree with that. It does start with the parents' involvement and having the kids interested in this. We live in the United States, and we need to be, you know, this is free for us to do this and our First Amendment right, and they need to learn this.
Peggy, you used a very interesting two words, and I love it because I concur with you completely. You called it God's work. And some people will say, but you're talking about politics. You're talking about governmental involvement. Well, friends, that is God's work. And we must be training the next generation of leaders in this particular avenue of God's work. And when we come back from this very brief timeout, we're going to be discussing further this critically important topic of developing the next generation of leaders. It's more caught than taught. You'll understand what I mean by that when we come back after this brief timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, as an evangelist for 33 years, I can say this with absolute certainty. Some things are better caught than taught. And what I mean by that is this. You can hear teaching on the fact that there is a lost world out there. There are hundreds of millions of people without Jesus Christ as their Savior. You can hear the specifics of a certain country, whether it's the African continent, whether it's the European sector. No matter where it is, you can hear instruction that tells you this number of that particular group of people in that country are without the gospel of Jesus Christ and without any hope anywhere on the near horizon of hearing the message of Christ. You can hear that all day long. You can be taught the facts, the statistics, but until you go, until you actually see what's going on, is really a burden for those folks and an unction, an urgency to get the gospel to them actually achieved. And so, again, some things are better caught than taught. Peggy, I want to go to you because I have observed you just very recently work with interns that come there to Faith in Action, and I've watched you engage them, involve them in a variety of things so that you're not just teaching them verbally what's going on, but you're helping them catch a vision of what takes place on Capitol Hill. Talk, if you would, please, about some of the multiplicity of things further beyond what you've already shared that you do with these young people, maybe people you introduce them to. Maybe if you can, without betraying any confidences, mention a few of the names that you work with, that I have met, that you involve these young people with so that they catch a burden for governmental involvement.
Okay. when an intern prior to coming here, they fill out different forms and different, different things that we know and we can understand what their interest is. So we know who they are prior to coming. We speak to them and whatever, and we know what they want in their future. We look at their interests. We look at what they're looking for. We try to match that up as a good fit. There may be an intern that we've had them come to D.C. and do their internship or their practicum, and then they never show back up. They're not interested in D.C. They're not interested in being here, and that's okay. But when we do have somebody that we realize fits the mold or fits that interest here and in God's work or being called to do God's work here on Capitol Hill, we can actually take those interns when they're here, and we take them to different meetings. We've had them meet congressmen. We've had them meet Senator Blunt, Senator Lankford. We even go to Democrats as well as Republicans with them. We've had them meet with Chaplain Black, pray with Chaplain Black. We have them meet with staffers that are prominent staffers on Capitol Hill. Some of the meetings that they're in are met with White House staff, so that they know those White House staff didn't just start off. Those White House staff started off at an internship or a practicum somewhere. And so we involve them in all of those activities and Hill meetings that they meet lots of members of Congress on both sides. They meet people that are in the legislative field that actually are out doing grassroots efforts. And these Hill meetings and activities help them to discover what they want to do and possibly continue as a career. Some of them who don't stay here may take this back to their own home states and to their communities and initiate something there that's of value and activity. They may start the Bible Reading Marathon there, which is an activity a program we have here. They may start prayer at the Ten Commandments that's at their state capitol building. You don't know what they do, but we've had a lot of them that I know that have taken and started initiated prayer or Bible studies within their schools. We have Bible studies here. We have prayer meetings here that we take them to. So the ministry goes in different directions, but they get to meet the members of Congress that are involved with that. We've had them in the church service that is in the actual U.S. Capitol, which is something we assisted with over 2 years ago. And they get to meet a lot of members of Congress that come in and out of that particular church service.
You know, Peggy, one of the things that to me has been very, very interesting is to meet and then to watch some of these young people have the chance of meeting people whose names they may have read about even in a history book. For example, Bill Murray, William Murray, who is the son of Madeline Murray O'Hare, works up on Capitol Hill. I remember vividly the first time I met him. Of course, I've interacted with him on a multiplicity of occasions since. But when these interns come and they meet someone who really in one sense is an icon, like William Murray, coming from the background from which he came and now a committed believer, committed follower of Jesus Christ, that has to have an impact on these young people.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we took some interns over to some of the confirmation hearings. They could meet, like, Justice Gorsuch. You would meet him prior to becoming a justice. They would meet them through the confirmation hearings, because at those meetings, those confirmation hearings, that's where they go around meeting and greeting people. They want people. This is the people's world, just like the White House is the people's house. This is the people's world in Washington, D.C., so to meet on hand folks like this, justices walk in front of the building, and they meet the justices that are out for a stroll. So it's nothing to just meet a member of Congress, and it's important to them to realize not only are they people, but some of these who know God and some of these who may need to know God.
Let me ask you something, Dan, and then, Peggy, I'm going to come to you with the same question. We hear a lot of, I guess, criticism. We hear a lot of maybe even condemnation of the younger generation of young people. Both of you work directly with the next generation of young people. Dan, are you encouraged or are you discouraged by what you see in the emerging generation of youth that you have the opportunity to interact with?
Well, Dave, if I can answer the question this way, a little bit of both. And let me explain what I mean by that. It's getting harder and harder to get young people to look outside themselves, because we have the millennials and and this generation are so self-centered. All they think about in many cases are themselves. So sometimes it's easy to get discouraged looking at that because the focus is totally on them, and we think of the selfie world and all that stuff. But on the other hand, Dave, there's a positive thing that I've been seeing. Young people that are so self-centered that they still aren't happy, and they see that life being wrapped up in themselves is not satisfying them, so they're looking for something that truly will satisfy them. And what will satisfy them, it's not just finding the Lord and knowing the Lord, but it's giving themselves to serve other people. So I see young people that I teach that are finding happiness, finding fulfillment, finding joy in assisting others. And many of those kids will get involved in the political arena and give their life to serve their country, give their life to serve other people. I've had numerous students serve in the military. I have one student right now who is in South Korea. His job is unbelievable what he does. Extremely intelligent kid, but he's devoted his life totally to serving his country. And when you talk to him, he is absolutely loving life because he's doing something to serve his country, to serve his Lord, and to help others. And Dave, you remember growing up, this phrase used to be really quite common, the phrase for God and country. And I don't hear that anymore. I hear people talking about doing things for God, but you don't hear much anymore about people doing things for country. We need to get back to that phrase for God and country and teach our young people. You are living not just for your God, but you're also living for your country, to serve your country, to advance the cause of your country. And I see young people who do that. Those are the ones that are the happiest. Those are the ones that are fulfilled. So I see a little bit of it from both sides, if I'm making any sense.
You are, Dan. And Peggy, one of the reasons I think that you and I connect so well together is we share so many common interests. We have a common love of God, the same Lord that we serve, but we also love our country, as my brother stated so eloquently there. What are you seeing, Peggy, as you have these young people come to you from all over the United States of America and they work under your leadership? Are you encouraged or are you discouraged by what you see?
I do agree with your brother. I think it's both, and I'll explain why. I'm actually encouraged by seeing the volume of young adults that are here participating in rallies and marches. They work in their members' offices. I see them protesting with signs. The social media communities get blown all to pieces because they voice their opinion. Now, that's our First Amendment right to do that, and I like seeing them exercise that. However, the discouraging part to me is I don't think, unfortunately, that they stop to get enough information to know what is true. So their information is not accurate. So we're out here marching for something, and this is our rights, and this is why we're doing this. And then they stop and go, oh, wait a minute, I don't even know what the cause is really about or what the legislation is really about. The media is sometimes, while the media is great to follow, it's not sometimes our friend, and there's not necessarily the actual truth in media. But with our interns working here on Capitol Hill, we've had these younger adults come back and say, well, we didn't know that's what that meant. We didn't know that that's what that direction, you know, the Women's March was marching for this, but it really meant this. And, oh, there is people out here doing health cares or breast exams. So I think seeing them stand at a podium, it's great, but I think it's both ways. I think it's good and it's bad.
You know, somebody told me years ago, there's nothing more frustrating than to have climbed the ladder of success only to realize you'd leaned the ladder against the wrong wall. And I think probably that's what's happening with a lot of young people. They've leaned their ladder against the wrong wall. Well, friends, when we come back from the break, you're going to hear some very personal stories from both Peggy and Dan, the journey through which God has led them to get to where they are. You're going to find this to be absolutely phenomenal because both of these folks have leaned their ladder against the right wall. Join us after this brief timeout.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, it's been said, the leader cannot lead someone where they have not been already themselves. And that is true with respect to the two people that are our guests today, actually my co-host, my twin brother Dan, and then our special guest Peggy Nienaber, Vice President of Operations at Faith in Action in the nation's capital. Both of these individuals have been able to lead the upcoming generation somewhere because they themselves have already been there. Peggy, Dan, what I'd like us to do in this final segment is have both of you share a little bit of your own personal journeys into involvement in civil government. Peggy, I want to start with you. I know a little bit of your story. You have worked for very prominent people. You have worked in very important places prior to coming to your current position at Faith in Action. So if you wouldn't mind, share a little bit of where you've been, the people for whom you've worked, and what you've done that has led you to this place you are right now, fulfilling such a pivotal, critical role in the lives of the upcoming generation.
Okay. Well, I actually started out as a kindergarten teacher. That was where I thought my heart was at. And I think all of this was in preparation and moving forward because it did not pay enough for me to raise my family. And so when I looked for a position, I took a job at a seniors lobbying organization called United Seniors Association. And because of my experience, I moved up a little bit in that role at that particular organization, and I worked underneath the gospel artist Pat Boone and the well-known actor Art Linkletter, best known for Kids Say the Darnest Things. A lot of people are familiar with Bill Cosby with the second part of the show. But Art Linkletter was the one that started that original show, Kids Say the Darnest Things. Both of them were very well-known celebrities, and my job was to schedule and handle what their appointments were, to get the media interviews and events on Capitol Hill. I made so many connections through this job, but a lot of nonprofits take dips. And when that company took a dip, that senior organization, I went to work for the gentleman you talked about earlier, William Murray, who was the son of one of the biggest atheists, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she was one of the most hated women and atheists in the world. But Bill Murray came to find God when he was 32, and it's become well-known on Capitol Hill for his fight and his lobbying for family values and religious freedom issues. I became his top lobbying person for him for several years. I headed up grassroots efforts to confirm both what is now Justice Sam Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts, taking me there to the Supreme Court. They're both to the Supreme Court, for those that don't know. But That took me into involvement in the White House with a lot of members of Congress, helping get several members of Congress elected to office. But I also moved from that job. It took a dip in finances, and it forced me to find another job on Capitol Hill. And I had met a pastor through all my different events and all my ups and downs and whatever named Reverend Rob Shank. And he, of course, was the president and founder of Faith and Action. He hired me instantly when he knew I needed a job. And here I am almost 12 years later here at Faith and Action doing where I think God put me and put me through all those paths that I had and the ups and downs to get me to where I'm at. I'm now vice president of operations and program, and I run this ministry. And all those paths, just like those interns that we're training, all those paths lead you to where I think God wants you to be. And I can get doors opened for this ministry center. God has given me that type of a gift. I can meet many different people and introduce them to our interns, to our president, to Allied Ministries. And I think that that's where all those years, that's where God intended me to be, and that's where I'm at today.
You know, Peggy, there's a reason why we say that you run the majority of Capitol Hill, and we say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but the fact of the matter is you do in many ways because you're involved in so many things that are ancillary in some ways to what you do as vice president of operations, but at the same time, they're intimately important to what you do there at Faith and Action, and you have come from a phenomenal background, and God has used you in a powerful way, and I thought it would be very, very important for our listeners to understand the path you've traveled. Dan, I want to go to you before we have a closing prayer today, and we're going to ask Peggy to do that, but Dan, take about a minute and a half, 2 minutes or so. Share a little bit about your background. You've been a pastor, you've been a mentor, a teacher, professor. You've done a lot of things. All of that has brought you to the place right now where you're using the acquired expertise, the accumulated expertise that you are now sharing with others to develop the next generation of leaders.
Well, Dave, you know, it really started back in college. I remember I was sitting in a Bible class. I think it was my junior year in college, and kind of thinking, what am I going to do, you know, when I get out of here? And I was kind of thinking about that, and all of a sudden I heard the teacher of the class, Charles Smith, say this. He said, have you ever thought that what God wants you to do with your life is something that you enjoy doing right now? And I don't know why that had never crossed my mind before, but I thought, man, I love teaching. I love coaching because I've always enjoyed sports. And of course, I got a job as a high school teacher of 1983 and a high school basketball coach, and I've done that, you know, for 34 years now. And, Dave, we had a teacher, and you will know who I'm talking about, back in high school, who was our high school basketball coach. He was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, still on active duty at the time, reserves. And I guess if there was one person that directed me toward the political arena, it would be Coach Leroy Knott. And what a wonderful man he was, a tremendous disciplinarian, a great basketball coach. But he bred in us, and Dave, you can amen this, he bred in us a love for our country as well as, of course, our mom and dad did it as well. But I guess his watching his life and seeing his love for America, it just bred something in me that wanted to do something to try to change this country for good. And Dave, mm-hmm. It's just been an interesting journey how the Lord has led to other ministries and other opportunities, you know, besides the teaching. You're doing these conferences on Islam with you and conferences on the Constitution in churches, several of those I've done. So the Lord will open up doors if we'll just follow him. It's been an interesting journey.
Well, Dan, you didn't say anything about this, but I'm going to mention it in place of you mentioning, and that is this. You have been very successful as a coach, as a teacher, as a mentor, and I meet young people frequently. In fact, I was just in Washington, D.C. There's a young man there. I will not mention his name. You know him and know him well, but he has commented to me on a number of occasions that you played the pivotal role in his life to get him to where he is serving there in Washington, D.C., And Dan, you've also coached two state championships on the high school level in basketball. And so God has blessed you and given you great success there. So I'm so thankful for you that you're not just my twin brother, but you're someone God has used in my life, because it was you, Dan, that years ago told me, Dave, you need to go back and relearn your history, because the preachers played a pivotal role in the founding era of this country. And that is what motivated me literally to get involved in what I'm doing now, though primarily I'm an evangelist, but it was your motivation that led me to do that. So, guys, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. We have just a couple of minutes left. Peggy, would you do us this service? Would you mind taking us to the throne of grace and praying that specifically God would raise up young people who understand the truth? They know that for which they are fighting, and then they do it effectively. And you'll have just a few seconds, but if you would, pray for us.
Yes. God, we bring to you our praises for all you do for us, the path that you guide us on to do your work and your will. We do ask, God, that you give us the guidance and wisdom in teaching and nurturing the young adults here in this great city, showing them what a wonderful world, city, and life we have. But, God, we cannot take that for granted. We want our youth to know that. We pray for your grace and for the next generation to move through them. We give you the praise, the blessings you granted upon us, and we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Friends, join us 23 hours from now for our next installment, Into Truth.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.